Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start.
Right before your eyes, we've got a big surprise. Welcome, welcome, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is the Freedom Outlaw, the one and only Bill Turner, and I'm here to tell you. I'm here to smell you. I'm here to let you know. This is the place to go. Welcome to Lion Roar Radio, and I'm glad to have you with us today. We have got quite a show. This week, we talk about the divine right of bureaucrats and how the government does what it does because we let them, and this cannot be. We cannot allow it to occur anymore. They can do no more, and they can do no less than what the rule of law is. And the rule of law is the Constitution, and it is up to us to stop the out-of-control government and make them abide by the rule of law. These bureaucrats, these minions of the elite, are nothing special. They're government employees. They are merely peons. They are merely cogs in the wheel. And it is up to us to flog them and make them obey. So let it be done. Let it be written. Let it be happening, baby, because they work for us. We don't work for them. So welcome to Crush Antifa. Crush the left. It is time to put a boot in the ass of the bureaucrat. And yes, this is the Freedom Outlaw. Fear no one. The government should fear us, for they work for us. We're broadcasting live from the bunker in Teller County, Colorado. And we seek advertisers. We have quite a listenership. We have grown exponentially. And we are looking for an advertiser to do a 30 or 60 second spot in the middle of the show. So if you think it's you, let me know, Pikachu. You can contact me at rockymountainway@gmx.com. And we'll work out the details. Care how rude, crude your ad is or what you're selling. So bang and gong, let's get it on. Welcome to the show, my friends. Let's dig right in. But first, we have a guest call-in number, and our chat room is open. Please keep your obscenities and extremities to yourself. We'll try and monitor the chat room for questions. We have a guest call-in number. If you happen to have something to say, have a hot take. The number is 657-383-1757. That's 657-383-1757. And we have a special liberal hotline. We know we have to keep it simple for you because you went to a government indoctrination school. So that number is 657-383-1757. Yes, the liberal hotline is 657-383-1757. Have a take or I'll disconnect you. Be polite or I'll disconnect you. Be civil or I'll disconnect you. And if you're not, I'll just verbally abuse you and talk about how I ride your mama. So let it go. Let it flow. Let's dig in. Let's talk about the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, Explosives, and Chips. Who's bringing the dip? It's gone over $19 million over budget on its shiny new headquarters building. The ATF is cutting back on vehicles and body armor for its agents. Because who needs them? If they die, they die. We'll hire new ones. But it's spending like drunken bureaucrats on building a monument to its own power. Why even mention it? It'd be bigger news to report that a government project came in on budget. But this is something more ominous than the Pentagon's infamous $600 toilet seats and $80 screwdrivers. Worse than tax-funded studies of the sexual preferences of green-eyebrowed Arctic tree frogs. This is even creepier in its way than the recent admission that the federal government simply can't account for how it spent $25 billion of its own money. Actually, it's our money, because we're the ones paying taxes. There isn't mere waste, corruption, or incompetence. This is the divine right of bureaucrats being declared in a country that once tolerated no such nonsense. According to the Washington Post, the director of the ATF, Carl Truscott, personally dedicated himself to fussing over the details of shower curtains and soap dishes in the ATF headquarters. Who gives a shit? That might have made gun owners happy if it meant this traditionally brutal agency was too busy perusing the niceties of home decor. Bother to assault our rights. But before whistleblower and Justice Department caught him in the act, Truscott was planning even worse and more heinous activities. This horrible asshat spent nearly $300,000 in extras for his own suite, including $65,000 for a conference table, a frickin' conference table, and $100,000 for hardwood floors with custom-made trim. And then it's perfectly natural that Truscott would consider himself worth so much. Congress had already told him he was so very precious that his personal security cost American taxpayers $1 million a year. Seriously, he's a bureaucrat, an asshat, a meat puppet, a sock puppet. And you know what you do to sock puppets. Sock puppets must be fisted. Legislators voted to give Truscott 24-hour-a-day security detail, consisting of 5 full-time bodyguards, 2 armored Chevy Suburbans. No previous ATF director had ever been so coddled. The head of the U.S. Marshals Service doesn't get this kind of protection. Although the heads of the CIA, FBI, and DEA do. The divine rights of bureaucrats is taking hold far beyond the offices of the ATF. We're still at the stage where we get indignant about it, and our indignation is doing nothing to reverse the trend. It's time that we do something. This is utter contemptible bullshit. These people work for us, and this is inexcusable. the head of the TSA was caught spending close to $500,000 refurbishing his personal office suite at a time when TSA agents were protecting air travelers by harassing 87-year-old Medal of Honor winners. And it's worth noting that McGaugh also came out of the ATF. It's something in the water over there that makes mediocre functionaries consider themselves so important. The perks simply don't stop. In the last 5 years, federal spending on travel and conferences has ballooned by 70%. Let that sink in. 70%. The perks simply don't stop. We're not talking driving humble gray Plymouths from the motor pool to a Motel 6. According to the Senate's Homeland Security reports, Government Affairs Committee on Federal Financial Management, between 2000 and 2005, the Fed spent $1.4 billion, and that's billion with a B, of your money to send employees to conferences, many of them in the height of luxury. The Department of Housing and Urban Development, an agency that doesn't even need to exist and should be shut down, sent its employees to a resort area of Los Cabos, Mexico, just to talk to each other. But Mexico wasn't good enough for folks who claim to be trying to protect us from high health care costs. The Department of Health and Human Services shelled out $3.6 million of hard-earned money to send out 236 employees to Barcelona, Spain. Oh, and here comes the TSA again. The Associated Press reported that the agency blew close to $500,000 on awards ceremony at a luxury hotel. Travel and lodging, $200,000. Plaques, $81,000. Those must be some special plaques. One TSA employee even got a Lifetime Achievement Award. Yes, a Lifetime Achievement Award for an agency that's been around for only a few years. This is just business as usual, and that's the problem. If this opulent living, costly perks, and 24-hour-a-day service for public servants seems perfectly normal to you, please consider how this country's highest political muckety-mucks lived during most of the nation's history. Forget bureaucrats for a moment. Look at how we treated our most exalted elected officials before we began to worship government. When Thomas Jefferson was vice president, he once rode up alone to an inn in Baltimore and was refused a room because he was too untidy looking. Our sixth president, John Quincy Adams, regularly went for solo swims in the Potomac, stark naked without a single bodyguard in sight, until the late 19th century presidents who wanted bodyguards or servants were expected to pay for them themselves. When he gave his now famous address at Gettysburg, Abraham Lincoln wasn't even the main speaker at the day's events. He was invited as an afterthought and merely allowed a few moments on a program headed by a famed orator. Afterwards, the newspaper simply noted Mr. Lincoln also addressed the assemblage. even as recently as Ulysses S. Grant's administration, which was from 1869 to 1877, absolutely anybody could walk up to the White House. Yeah, anybody could walk up to the White House and knock on the door. A member of the president's family was likely to answer. When he left the presidency in 1929, Calvin Coolidge retired with his wife to the same modest duplex he had lived in before their stay in the White House. No Secret Service agents came with him. No taxpayers had to foot the bill for their private lives. In short, until a few decades ago, the President of the United States was treated pretty much like any other American, and that's the way it was intended to be. We, the people, were the nation's rulers. Everybody who lived off our taxes was regarded with considerable and usually justifiable skepticism. We certainly didn't let our servants claim an entitlement to live free and better than we at our expense. That was the attitude of France's Queen Marie Antoinette and her chubby hubby, Louis XVI, who deservedly lost their heads for their arrogance. That was the attitude of Charles I of England, who asserted his divine right of kings. Charles was also brought down to size by the efficient means of the headman's axe. American Bastille Day, anyone? But today, we proud, independent, free Americans not only have to humbly bow, scrape, and scamper out of the way of fecund and fetid ranks of elected politicians whose security demands closing entire downtowns and forcing commuters off freeways to grant opulence and privilege to such bureaucratic non-entities as Carl Truscott and Michael Chertoff, most Americans wouldn't even recognize, but I would, and whose imperial pretensions are matched only by their ineptitude. You say the world is more dangerous than in the past? Maybe. But it's dangerous for office workers in high-rise buildings, too. It's dangerous for poor stalking victims. Nobody gives them million-dollar round-the-clock protection. You say our government officials are very important personages who deserve both protections and perks. Ask the survivors of Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, exactly how vital Homeland Security chiefs are to their security. Ask the struggling U.S. firearms industry how the ATF aided research and development. Ask battered and bewildered gun owners whether Mr. Truscott's services are the services of any other anointee of the ATF are essential in keeping America free. This system of bureaucratic privilege is new to the United States. But not unfamiliar. The Soviet Union was run like this. in Moscow hundreds of bland apparatchiks whose only talent was their ability to play the Communist Party system, earned increasing privileges as they climbed the bureaucratic ladder. At a certain level, you earned a servant to bring you tea. At another, a limousine and a driver. At another, a luxurious country dacha, where you could spend your weekends building high walls. I suppose at some point, you earned $100,000 floors. In America, we once refused to countenance pompous, pretentious, privileged puffery from hired functionaries. Now, not only presidents, but also faceless, tax-consuming drones demanding privileges grand enough to set them well above we mere rabble. We complain, sure, but we tolerate it, and that's bullshit. We need to quit being weak-kneed, slovenly slaves to the bureaucrats. So far, Americans seem less inclined than their French or English forebears to reduce our would-be monarchs to proper size. I say it's time for an American Bastille Day, and we shorten these bastards to the appropriate size. They work for us. We pay their salaries through higher and higher taxes each and every year. The tax man cometh, and the tax man taketh through extortion. The tax man uses the threat of force and arms to take from us what we earn. They pervert the law in the name of the law. It is not desirable to cultivate a respect for the law so much as for the right, said Henry David Thoreau. Think about that. It is not desirable to cultivate a respect for the law so much as for the right. Our rights come before the law. But as Frank Zappa said, and he said it much more eloquently, the United States is a nation of laws, badly written and randomly enforced. And if you've ever felt the boot on your throat, it doesn't matter if the boot is from the right or the left. It's still wrong. We have an obligation, my friends, to take back our liberties, to become freer, and to ensure that the law of the land is enforced. Because as the liberals in this country like to say, the law is settled. The Constitution is the rule of law in this land, and it is settled law. We are going to talk next about the law and whether it is a just law, a right law, and a prudent law. We are going to talk about nullification, how law becomes law, and how you can become freer in this land of tyrants who are seeking to take away from you liberty and turn you into slaves. Because it's time you stand up, not only to bureaucrats, but to the police and everyone else. Crush you. God bless you. God bless America. And the next time you see something wrong in this country, put down your phone and kick some ass. Stand up for what is right. Because right is always right. Wrong is always wrong. and that has never changed. If you see someone with a uniform and a badge kicking my ass, don't videotape it. Put down the goddamn phone, jump in, and save me, because I'll do the same for you.
Sometimes I want to light up underneath the no smoking sign. Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. I wish they'd just leave me alone, cause I'm doing alright. You can take your change on down the road and leave me here with mine. Cause that ain't my America, that ain't this country's roots. You wanna slam old Uncle Sam, but I ain't letting you. I'm mad as hell and you know I still bleed red, white, and blue. They ain't us, that ain't my America. That ain't my America. Yeah, I was standing there in Dallas, waiting on. $100 tanks of gas. I can tell you right now, this country ain't.